This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
And a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show. Randy Boschcutter and Monty Kratzenstein here with you on this Thursday. Doug, right now bemoaning the fact of Alex Gordon's injury a little bit. I blame the injury completely on Doug Duda, who told me yesterday that he hopes that Gordon didn't play yesterday because, well, they'll probably have to rest him after the doubleheader the day before. So he was concerned that he wouldn't be able to see Alex Gordon play. And apparently we know what Doug Duda's luck is like as he brought down Alex Gordon with him.
I've heard of the Sports Illustrated cover jinx. I didn't know. I was not aware of the Doug Duda jinx. But if we want to perpetuate that idea, we can go ahead and do that.
Well, a level 2+ groin strain, which is really complicated for. He really pulled it bad and about 8 weeks. And, I was actually watching the game last night. Great game. Entertaining game. But you see that happen and you're like going, oh, that ain't good. Because him not getting up to chase a ball, you knew something was serious.
Yeah, he said there he felt like something popped. Anytime they bring a cart on the field, that's not good. And strain doesn't sound very bad, but when they did the MRI and they talk in 8 weeks, then that's a significant thing. And for a guy like him that plays as hard as he does, that affects him probably more so than it does a lot of players in the major league because he hangs his hat on his effort and his defense and that
is who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's exactly how that happens too, because he was going all out and then had to pull up the brakes. And when that happened, to me, it looked like he turned his ankle. When he did it, it looked to me like things are just out of line and he turned his ankle. But the word is he'll be out for 8 weeks. And that's a bit of a blow to the Royals as they lose one of their all-stars, one of their starters for the all-star game, and really kind of the heart and soul of that team, because he's been around longer than just about anybody else and kind of shown them how to play, and the Royals as a team play pretty hard. So that's a big blow.
That's a good description. I think he's always, we're a little bit biased being from Nebraska and him being from Nebraska, but I've always felt like just what you said, he was kind of that glue that held together because of his work ethic, his effort, the way he played. So it's going to be a real test to see. I think a lot of that is carried over when you think of the Kansas City Royals and the way they play. They don't appear to have a lot of prima donnas, and I think that culture, and I want to give him all the credit.
It isn't all him, yeah.
But that certainly is part of it. So it'll be interesting to see how we'll make a mark and see how that record turns out in the next 8 weeks and how that has truly affected them.
Yeah, and see where they're at right now. Right now, best record in the American League, and we'll see in 8 weeks when he comes back whether or not that's still the case. As, we're getting awfully close to the All-Star break. You're starting to kind of look and see where everything is. A lot of Legion teams are kind of in the final throes of wrapping things up. An all-star game tonight here in Kearney for Legion action. I just got off the phone a little bit ago with my sister. Didn't realize my nephew was going to play in that until she called me. So I'll be making it to that as well. And I know some teams are wrapping everything up. I mean, it's coming to an end here, the Legion baseball season.
This is kind of a strange time in the sports world just because not to say there isn't important things going on. We're seeing Wimbledon on TV and, the British Open's coming up and the All-Star game, like you mentioned. But there's this black hole at this particular time where, you know, as you know, the talk shows are kind of looking for stuff. I mean, listen, when we're talking about NBA free agency, and that's on the top, that's a sign that we need a little bit more. But I'll tell you what, the Legion stuff, Kearney Little League is going on. You know, the district starts this weekend, so that's always a big story locally. And obviously, the Legion teams are doing very well. So there's a lot of stuff to follow anyway.
And in fact, we're going to be talking with Brian Graham of Kearney 5 Points as they kind of wrapped up the season just the other day with a record of 25-3. We'll talk with Coach Graham, a team obviously you know a tremendous amount about with your son playing on the team as well. And we'll be talking with Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com as we're really kind of beginning that aspect of talking about the Big Ten in particular. We'll kind of do a brief preview in time for us to go to the Big Ten Media Days at the end of the month, and then after that we'll have reports of each of the Big Ten teams, which is 14, but you put 28 days of that together, you're going to be really awfully close to kicking off football by the time we get done with all of our previews here coming up starting today.
You can kind of feel it.
Yeah, you really can.
This time, you get to the 4th of July, I think always after the 4th of July, people, at least around here anyway, are always thinking college football, and it's such a big thing. You start to feel that it's coming.
Yeah, and the NFL Hall of Fame game is always in July. It's the 20-something-something of July when they have the Hall of Fame game. So, you know, when that gets going, and again, I'm not big into watching the NFL preseason unless I'm watching for a Nebraska player, a UNK player, somebody that we're hoping makes it into mm-hmm. the roster, and I can kind of watch for that aspect. I'm a huge Dolphins fan, but I'm not looking up and DVRing the NFL network rebroadcast the Dolphins preseason football game. I'm just not.
Preseason football in the NFL is a necessary evil. I know they have to do it for roster clarification. They have to do it to get ready, but I'm with you.
I can't
buy into it.
No, I can't buy into it at all. I actually pay more attention to the CFL. You know, it's kind of fun to watch them on. I think Thursday nights on ESPN, you can watch a little CFL. At least the games count. You know, they matter.
To get your football fix, that's what you're watching.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily matter to me. It matters to somebody.
That's a sickness. You know, when you're watching, when you know Thursday night CFL's on, that you might have, you admitting you have a problem is the first step, Randy.
That is the first step to finding a solution to it. We talked about it being a little bit quieter, but Monty, did you watch the Women's World Cup, or are you just one of those patriotic, wrap the flag around yourself and watch a little soccer every 4 years kind of guy?
I'm willing to admit, and I admit this to Scott Steinbrook all the time, that I'm not a soccer guy, but I am a sports event guy, and there's no doubt that the World Cup, whether it be men's or women's, is a event. And it's fascinating culturally as well as just watching the appreciation of the athletic part of it. So we had baseball going on, you know, but so I didn't. So I DVR'd the finals. And by the time we got into the, you know, you can't shut off. It's hard to shut off Twitter. So
right.
I accidentally kind of looked at my phone and all of a sudden I saw, holy cow, we're up so big. Kind of the drama of it was kind of gone by the time I got in. So I watched part of it and I know. You know, I can't say that a year ago or 6 months ago I knew the players and kind of knew the characteristics of the team and the tournament, but I followed it. It's a cultural world event.
And it helped immensely, I think, the last two World Cups, the men down in Brazil a year ago, the women in Canada this year. All kind of very similar time zones to what we're used to. So it worked out really well. It'll be interesting when they play in Russia, the next World Cup for the men in 3 years. That obviously will throw things off a little bit, and that'll be a little bit of an adjustment with that. And you talk about Twitter, you know, I like DVRing games, not knowing what's going on.
Right.
But that means I can't really look at my phone. Twitter is off the board then at all.
Well, we all know that Americans and Nebraskans love winners, right? I mean, they're going to jump on a bandwagon with winners. And obviously with the women's team and the success they've had and then being the favorites going in, although not overwhelming favorites, people, it's much easier to jump on that sort of bandwagon. But the other side of it is they're easy to cheer for. You know, that's a hardworking, you know.
They play for themselves. You can kind of tell.
You can tell. They're easy to cheer for. You know, got some great personalities.
They play for each other. I didn't say that very well. They played for each other.
Right.
You kind of see that. And that's an easier team to root for.
Totally. Agree.
I will say one thing. I think your team uniforms should be exclusively national colors. You know, lime green, that yellowish thing that they had going on. I'm sorry. If it isn't on your flag, it shouldn't be on your soccer uniforms. There, I said it.
Yeah, I don't think too many people will. Well, you kind of sound like one of those old guys.
I do sound like
me.
Yeah,
we want it to be this certain. Yeah. I'm with you.
Back in my day. That's the way it is. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Legion baseball with Brian Graham of Kearney Five Points, who wraps up their season this last week. We'll talk with the coach as we continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show here from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We come back right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get USDA Select Boneless Beef Ribeye Steaks, only $8.98 a pound. All varieties of 10-inch Village Pie Maker Pies, only $9.75 each. And lean tender pork country ribs, $1.49 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire...
Touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 78. Tonight, we'll continue the chance of storms with a low near 62. And Friday, a slight chance of storms, high near 83 degrees. Currently, it's 66.
And welcome back here to the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be talking a little baseball here in just a little bit with a guy that actually knows how to play a little bit of basketball as well. And if you want to improve your basketball skills and take your game to the next level, well, time now to start signing up for the 29th annual Mike Traders Mid-America Basketball Camp. It'll be held next week, Monday, July 13th through the 16th at Hastings College. So that'll be Monday through Thursday at Hastings College. These day camp sessions are for both boys and girls, ages 7 through 18. Time is short, so you need to register online at traderscamp.com. That's traderscamp.com, or email mtrader@hastings.edu. That's mtrader@hastings.edu, or you can call Mike directly at area code 402-960-8011. Registrations will also be taken at the door, so you can kind of do that at the last minute, but you want to make sure that you get yourself a spot. And they work on all sorts of fundamentals. It's all about that. They work on jumping, endurance, ball handling, agility, shooting, dribbling, and passing skills. And I never saw a whole lot of passing skills from our next host, Brian Graham, when we played noon basketball. But the shooting and dribbling, I sure saw that over the years, Brian. And glad you could join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks, Randy.
little did you know this was going to turn into a pickup basketball discussion. That's really why we brought
exactly.
you on here.
I wasn't prepared for that part of it.
Well, you know, you stories tell me if you get open, I'll get you the ball. So it was on me. I know how that works. Brian's joining us here to talk a little Five Points baseball as the season wrapped up here for the Legion Junior team in Kearney. Finished the year 25-3, 25-4, was it? That's an outstanding record, Brian. Congratulations to you and your team for wrapping up what was a tremendous year.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a great year and a great bunch of players to coach. Made my job easy. Wasn't hard to motivate him to get going, even after, you know, winning so many games and that stuff. So yeah, it was a great year all around.
Brian, could you, before we get into the team and the season a little bit, could you talk to our listeners a little bit about Five Points and who they are? I get a lot of, you know, word on the street. You know, there's a little bit of confusion about Five Points and Post 52 and runs and Little Caesars and so on. Could you talk just a little bit about Five Points and maybe the mission or what it's there for and how it came about and all those sorts of things?
Sure, yeah. Originally, Five Points and Little Caesars were teams for players that maybe didn't want to play the rigorous schedule of runs in Post 52. But it kind of evolved into a program where all of the Five Points players come out for Post 52, all freshmen and sophomore try out for Post 52. Those that don't get selected for Post 52 then play on Five Points. Five Points used to have quite a few sophomores play, but because of the numbers game and things like that, it's basically turned into a freshman team. We don't keep any sophomores on it. Those sophomores that don't make Post 52 have an opportunity to play for Little Caesars, and right this year we have, I'm not sure, I think seven sophomores playing on Little Caesars. Next year, all of my players from Five Points will try out for Post 52. And hopefully, you know, a good number of those will make Post 52 and go on and play for them.
That evolution, you kind of talked about how it's changed over the years, Brian. Is that something you think is a good thing? Are you comfortable with that? Are you worried about overall numbers of young men and potentially women in the Tri-Cities area that are trying out for Legion Baseball?
I don't think so. I think, you know, with the four teams that we have, we've been able to accommodate most of the players that have gone out. I know, you know, I've coached Little Caesars, I think, for 8 years, and I think there were only maybe one or two occasions where I had to cut a player at the end of tryout. So I don't think so. I think the numbers are good, and I think, you know, as we go along, people are going to understand a little bit more about Five Points and Little Caesars. You know, I don't refer to them as B teams because that's not at all what they are. So I think we have a good thing going, and the freshman team here is able to provide Post 52 with quality players that have been in the Legion program, and we play a competitive schedule with the players we have. You know, Aurora has a good team year in and year out. Given Shelton, Central City, St. Paul, you know, they all have good solid baseball programs, and I know my players are better at the end of the year, you know, for playing those type of programs.
Brian, could you talk just a little bit about the team this year, some specifics, talk a little bit about your, you know, your strengths and what made you guys as successful as they were, besides obviously the coaching, besides that?
Yeah. I think the number one thing that pops out is the pitching. I had basically about five guys that I knew that would go in there, and, you know, we could get at least five good innings out of them. They competed and threw strikes. We made plays behind them. Jace Krasenstein pitched for us. Cam Henson, Brett Kaiser, Trevor Payne, and Jake Scala. I know Jonathan Wins came in a pretty important game there in our tournament. I believe it was against Sutton, and was able to get a couple of outs for us too. Nathan Murray was hurt most of the year, and he got his first start there that last game against Lexington. He did a great job throwing strikes, and they put the ball in play. And unfortunately, we didn't make many plays behind him. So, but that's the biggest thing for this year was the pitching, and also executing bunts, stealing bases. You know, we hit and run a couple times, and I you know told the guys, I said, you know, we put pressure on teams early. You know, that changes their mindset. That changes the way the game's going to go. Puts pressure on them to make plays when we can scratch a run off after a sack bunt. And the guys were able to do that. And, you know, it was 1 through 9. And I would say, you know, 1 through 15, one of the toughest things about coaching this year was making the starting lineup. And you know, we had a lot of guys that were good players. And I told the guys before games, you know, we didn't start the same 9 every, you know, day in and day out. And I felt comfortable with everybody that we played in every game that we could win ball games with.
Well, Brian, you kind of mentioned getting that early lead. It appears something that you probably did a lot because there was a lot of momentum, I think, that you have to just inherently have when you're 25-3 heading into your final game of the year. I mean, again, you finished 25-4 on the year. You were ahead in a lot of games, and your team just had to have that feeling of, we're going to win this thing. I mean, they had to have a tremendous amount of confidence, you know, because they had that success throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, and we practiced bunting a lot. I know we had a bunting scrimmage before we played Lincoln Pius because they're kind of known to bunt. But there again, there was a game where we were able to get on top early, and it took them out of their game. And I think they attempted maybe 2 bunts against us the whole game, which is not typical Lincoln Pius. So, get on top, put pressure on them, and it changes the way they play and changes their game plan, and that bodes well for us.
How much of a similar philosophy or communication do you have in the entire program? And by that, I mean, you look at runs in post 52 and Little Caesars and 5 Points and the success that all those teams have had over the years. Are there similar philosophies? Are there things that you're trying to teach or instill in kids to prepare them for that? Could you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll throw Archer under the bus here. My 16-year-old year was his first year as head coach of Post 52. So I played for Arch, and I coached last year with Matt Connett on Post 52. And there's a lot of the similar. You know, I a lot of the things I do I learned from Brad Archer and Steve Spomberg. And so there's some continuity between the 4 teams, you know, and Matt, Brad, and I sit down before every year and kind of talk about things and talk about players and what we want to accomplish. So there's a lot of communication between the 2 programs. And, you know, I do a lot of things the same way that Coach Archer would do.
We're talking with Brian Graham, the head coach of Kearney 5 Points Juniors. And you talked a little bit earlier, Brian, about the pitching you had through the course of the year. Let's go to the other half of the inning. Talk a little bit offensively. Some of the guys, it's kind of our opportunity to kind of have the opportunity on our show to brag about their play and the progress that they've kind of made. So offensively, who are some of the guys that you really want to bring out and draw some attention to?
Well, first of all, Jace Kratzenstein, great at the plate, put the ball in play. I don't know that he struck out all year. I'd have to look, but we had him in the 9 hole originally, just so we could, he saw a lot of fastballs, didn't see a lot of curveballs, a lot of off-speed stuff, so that gave him a better opportunity to put the ball in play. And then we moved him to the leadoff here the last 5-6 games. John Brockmeyer, great hitter. He DH'd for us for the most part the last half of the season. Again, he put the ball in play, found holes, moved runners over, good bunter. Let's see. Brett Kaiser, number 3 hole, just a tremendous hitter. I know he had an inside-the-park home run against Hastings, I believe it was, to tie the ball game in our tournament. We went on to win that one. Jake Scala, good hitter, contact hitter. Trevor Payne, lefty, again, good contact hitter. He DH'd for us a little bit, too. Josh Ray did a great job. He came in and pitch hit in the tournament in Wahoo. I know hit a triple with the bases loaded with two outs. I can't remember if he took the lead on that or tied the ball game. But Noah Tillman behind the plate did a great job for us this year. Tyler Tracy kind of backed up Noah. But Tyler's done a great job, works hard, wants to learn, and has really improved his skills behind the plate. Dylan Okamoto was kind of our utility guy. He played outfield, he played infield. Wherever we put him, I felt confident that he would do a good job defensively. Kobe Bonner and at second base did a great job.
You know, it's nice to, and you know, obviously having watched a lot of those games, first of all, the Kratzenstein kid has overcome a lot of genetic issues that he has. So that's a story in itself. But you know, when I watched the team we played against, and to me, just what you're saying, there's an incredible amount of depth. It seemed like throughout the season there'd be certain guys. I mean, if you look at the overall statistics, there was a lot of guys hitting over 300, and quite a few of them hitting over 350. And to me, a lot of times maybe it wasn't, you know, we didn't get off to great starts, but as you got through the second time through the lineup, the overall depth took over. And you know, you mentioned that with your pitching. You know, there's a lot of teams out there at that level that have, you know, one pitcher, maybe two, but you know, depth to me was a key.
Yeah, and all around, you know, second base too. I mentioned Kobe Barr, you know, Caleb Hoyt played second base for us and did a nice job. Those two, I kind of, you know, started alternated starts with those guys because they were, you know, both good players, pretty even at second base. And Jake Gappa did a great job at shortstop for us. I know, I think he tryouts, he was a second baseman. We moved him over to shortstop, and he did a good job there. And then Cam Henson did a great job at third base. He fielded a lot of balls that maybe a lot of guys don't get to, and then he's got a cannon from third base, so that was nice.
And now, I'm sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Nope.
Go ahead.
That's all right.
And now everything wraps up because of the agreements or however you want to term it. 5 points doesn't go into district play. Just talk a little bit about that because, again, I think a lot of people don't understand that is the case. But both Little Caesars and 5 points, they do not move on into district play, correct?
That's correct. We have the opportunity to play districts, or we could play districts. We would have to play Class A districts, and that would be in the same district as Runza and Post 52. And it's not a thing where, you know, we don't want 5 points to go in there and beat Post 52 or whatever. It's discussed every year at our board meetings and things like that. Should we play districts? Should we not play districts? It's kind of a difficult situation. You know, you don't want to say that you know, we don't play districts because we don't think we can compete with those teams. But on the other hand, you know, well, you look at 5 points, all freshmen, you know, and you go around the Class A schools, and most of those junior teams are all sophomores, older players, things like that. So it's a situation where, you know, if we would choose to do that, then I would prefer them to play a predominantly Class A schedule to play against that competition day in and day out. And, you know, I don't know that we have the horses to do that on a regular basis throughout the whole season. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of the view that we have of that.
Yeah. Again, just an explanation, because like I say, there's a lot of people that just don't understand how the two different programs kind of work. And Monty used the right word, and that is the mission. You know, that really is not the mission of 5 points of Little Caesars to be there. Unfortunately, you know, as it's set up, you had a great team this year, but you got to rebuild again next year, you know, because, you know, those freshmen won't be freshmen next year.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and this is my first year coaching 5 points, and it's been great. I love this age of kids. They're they're hungry. They listen. They want to learn. They want to get better. They show up. You know, and I use the word intensity with them all the time. You know, when you step on that field, you're intense with everything you do. And these guys, you know, this 5 points team this year just did a great job of, you know, showing up to practice and putting in the hours and putting in the reps. And you know, as a coach, you can't ask for anything more than that. You know, the wins will take care of themselves. When you got guys wanting to show up for practice and, you know, texting me in the middle of the afternoon if I can meet them up at the field so one or two of them can hit or something like that. You know, to me, that says a lot about this group of guys. And to be able to accomplish, you know, with all the wins that they've had and winning the Mid-Nebraska Baseball League Championship out in McCook on a balmy day that Monty predicted would be 104, and I believe he was spot on. So.
never played a game or been there when it hasn't been about this time of year, that's for sure.
But the boys went up there, they responded, you know, played a great game and came away with the win. So, but, you know, I love baseball, and I don't know what else I'd be doing in the summertime. So I hate to see these guys go, but I'm excited for some new freshmen to come out. Get going next year.
Well, I'm going to speak I'll speak for the parents, and we can speak for past coaches, and I can speak for the community and whatnot. But, you know, this is not the easiest, most fun job in the world. It's a lot of time that you and your coaching staff put in. I always felt as a parent that we felt good about having that staff mentoring the kids. I know a lot of parents felt that way. So I'd like to certainly thank you for the time and the effort that you and your staff put in. It was a good year, and that you know, without saying the wins and losses, obviously when you win a championship, that's a nice deal too. But I, from the other side of things, I really appreciate that, and I look forward to next year.
Thanks. Yeah, and I'll say Dane Toby and Will McCauley were the three coaches for Little Caesars and 5 points. But those guys did a great job with the kids too. Showing up and helping out and you know, helping me a lot, you know, filling up lineups and that stuff and throwing batting practice. That's always a big thing for
yeah,
for a coach to have a couple of other guys that can get up there and throw. So I appreciate that, Monty, and it was a great year. And again, every one of these players is a good player and a great kid, and it made coaching a lot of fun.
Well, Brian, appreciate your time with us on the show and everything you've done all summer for these young men. Best of luck to you in the future. And, you know, we'll get together, maybe have a little pickup basketball game. Maybe we'll shoot hoops in the driveway or something there.
Maybe a free throw contest. Yeah, I don't know if I can get up down the court anymore. So.
You know what? You did okay last time I played you. I'm just saying. Yeah. All right, Brian. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate the time.
Yep, thank you.
All right, that's Brian Graham, the head coach of Kearney 5 points, and the guy actually can ball. He actually was been a while since I played pickup games with him, but he could ball. Good guy, and wow, what a great season. I mean, obviously you were there, Jace being a big part of that, and I just have to say this, Dad. Your son starts the number 9 hitter, finishes the number 1 hitter. That ain't easy to do. That's a good summer. That's a good summer when you move through the lineup.
It's hard to transfer that golf swing into a baseball swing. that's the hardest thing. But no, I don't want to, you know, spend too much time on it. But you know, it's so important for these kids to understand what the whole goal of this is, and to teach them, to give these kids an opportunity to play baseball that, you know, there's only so many spots. And one thing, if you look at Kearney youth baseball, you know, it's very strong. And I can look at the 14s, 13s, 12s, all the way through. And I think there's three travel teams in each one of those grades now.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're talking, you know, 36 kids or so for each grade that's going to come up there. So all of a sudden, you know, the tryouts and the cuts and the decisions on rosters have become a lot more difficult for people like Coach Graham and that staff, because now you have to decide, you know, you've got to tell some kids that there are not opportunities for you to play baseball anymore. You know, it's high school baseball, but that's a tough deal. But it's a nice problem to have, because because of the strength of the youth programs, there's a lot of kids playing baseball.
And, you know, that same thing's true of Kearney and Grand Island as well, and the other smaller communities. Baseball is big here in central Nebraska. It really is. And it's great to have those other programs to give as many kids as many opportunities out there to play. And so Five Points wrapping up a great year. We need to wrap up this segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll switch sports here and talk a little college football with Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. We come back right after this.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Hey!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Horizon Recovery and Counseling Center presents the 6th Annual Recovery in the Park Celebration on Friday, July 10th. There'll be a free barbecue with hamburgers and hot dogs at 6 p.m. at Brickyard Park in Hastings. Enjoy barbecue, free ice cream, cotton candy, popcorn, and face painting, and a free concert by the Going Home Blues Band. Free will donations are appreciated. For more information, call 462-2066 or log on to reviveinc.org. Revive Ministries hopes to see you at Brickyard Park Friday, July 10th for a great time of food and fellowship.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
And welcome back here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Speaking of Midway, time to start planning a little bit for cruise night and cruise night activities. And one of the first ones are going to begin at Midway. They'll be hosting a show and shine a week from tonight, Thursday, July 16th, from 5 to 7:30 during cruise night weekend at Midway Auto Outlet on Central Avenue. Stop down for oldies music, food, enjoy the cars, and again, that'll be their fairly new location at Midway Auto Outlet on Central Avenue. And while you're there, you can check out their wide selection of cars. They have three dealerships in a four-block radius. They have about 600 different makes, models, colors to choose from. And of course, you can shop the entire inventory at thinkmidway.com and just check them out. And cruise night just right around the corner. And with that, we start kind of making that transition from baseball to football. And to kind of help us out with that is Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com, who's kind enough to join us here. Randy Bushcutter, Monty Kratzenstein. Mitch, glad to hear from you. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Monty, Randy, how are you guys? Good to be with you.
We're doing very well. We like to kind of bring you on and kind of give us a little bit more of a global perspective here of college football and kind of where we're at. Just kind of before the season begins, what do you kind of see the status of college football? Where are we kind of going? I think one of the things that people are wondering about is, are we done with these super conferences, realignment, and that sort of thing? Just kind of your take of the state of the union of college football.
Well, sure. I think we're coming out of a period of reorganization, of realignment, if you will. It seems that has slowed. I don't think you've seen the last of teams changing conferences for a number of years. I think that there will continue to be some trickle down effect. That the Group of Five, the mid-major in football. Conference level, but for those Power Five leagues, there's talk of the Big 12 continuing to want to push to get back up to 12 teams or even 14, so it's on par with the SEC or the Big 10. And I suppose the Big 12 could add a couple of teams, although I don't see great fits, to be honest with you. I didn't see more than one great fit in the last round of expansion for the Big 12, and they're sitting at 10 now, so. Where that league looks next is that there are going to be some challenges. As for the state of college football in general, I think it's in fairly good shape. There's a lot of things in flux right now. If you want to talk, politically within the game, there are, as you know, a lot of changes that have happened at the NCAA level as far as student athlete experience, providing benefits for student athletes that weren't there. Even in recent years, we're going to full cost of attendance throughout the Power Five leagues and really throughout Division One football, with very few exceptions. In this school year, a month from now, that all begins. Your scholarship will be worth more to you as a student athlete than it ever has been, and I think that will bring about some additional changes as we venture deeper into this age of autonomy, where the rich seem to get richer. But that's, I think, the future of this game. And it'll be interesting to see what some of those additional changes are in the coming years.
Mitch, when you're talking about off-season stuff, that's interesting. That's interesting stuff, but football guys like me want to talk football, and we're hoping that we talk football. Last year at this time, we were going into a 14 playoff. That was the topic of conversation, as well as Jameis Winston and returning Heisman Trophy winner who last year at this time. What are some of the national storylines from a football perspective that you would say right now?
Well, I think the Big Ten is a real popular storyline right now. We saw a flurry of activity, hype around this league that we're close to here in Nebraska, and in the later parts of last season, Ohio State was at the center of that. But there's been so much off-season excitement about Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. I don't think that's something that will manifest itself on the field in an impactful way for. Another year or two, but he definitely brings interest to this conference. So the Big Ten to me is a part of the national storyline in a way that it hasn't been for several years. And some of that, the majority of that is still because of Ohio State, and its three quarterbacks are of utmost interest within the league and nationally as we head into the season. Outside of this region, there are numerous, storylines, numerous players that are going to capture attention. From a team perspective, how does Oregon withstand the departure of Marcus Mariota? Are we working now toward the end of a period where the Ducks have been so powerful out on the West Coast and in the Pac-12, and it would look that maybe some of that balance of power is shifting to UCLA and back a little bit to USC, the way that the Trojans have recruited under Steve Sarkisian. But it'll be interesting to see if Oregon out west has the ability to do as well as it did in the past few years now in the post Marcus Mariota era. Where's Florida State without Jameis Winston? Same kind of storyline out there. So I think so many of the same teams are still going to be prominent But you're going to see new names in the faces, guys like Deshaun Watson at Clemson, who's coming off of an injury in the last season, but somebody that very well may be in that next realm of Mariota, Winston, Johnny Manziel, the phenomenon quarterbacks that we've seen over the past few years in this game.
That is going to be a little bit of a transition. Who's going to be that next figure that comes up there? You know, a year ago we were still in a situation where the SEC had won like 11 straight NCAA football championships. Ohio State kind of brought that end. You bring in Harbaugh, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, where the stock is kind of going up for the Big Ten Conference. Are we spending too much time trying to say who's stronger here, the SEC, the Big Ten? You know, do we spend too much time talking about that? And whether we are or aren't, let's talk about that. Where do you kind of see where the Big Ten, SEC, and the rest of the conference, where they all kind of line up?
I think it's a natural way to dissect the game because we've had this conference expansion over the past 2 years. It's very easy to do to talk about the game and compartmentalize it into conferences, and fans seem to align that way more today than they ever have. You know, if you go back to the days of the Big Eight and the Southwestern Conference, it wasn't so much like that because the conferences were smaller. The rivalries were every bit, if not more, fierce within the league. Now it seems like the rivalries are almost between the leagues as much as they are within teams in the leagues. And part of that may be because, you've lost things like Nebraska, Oklahoma. You've lost even some conference rivalries for teams that play in the same conferences because they're no longer in the same division within that conference. Although, of course, some of those have been preserved, like Michigan, Ohio State, and in the Big Ten. You know, of course, Auburn, Alabama are going to continue to play every year, and that will be as hotly contested as ever. But the Big Ten and the SEC, from a money perspective, from a political perspective, from a point of view that those two leagues shape change for the game, they are really the two big dogs right now, and that's not necessarily even reflected. That's not necessarily even something that has to reflect in the level of play on the field. I'm not necessarily ready to say that the Big Ten is right there with the SEC in its level of play across the board. I don't think it is. I think you've got two very good teams in the Big Ten this year, in Ohio State and Michigan State, top five caliber teams. And then you have a drop after that. You've got three or four other teams that are going to vie for top 25 positions, and that's not really the case in the SEC. In the SEC, you've got seven teams in the West who I think are top 25 caliber teams, and a couple or three that could be national championship contenders. So despite the SEC going down in the college football playoff last year, and Auburn losing to Florida State the year before that in the BCS championship game, so this streak of seven straight is over for the SEC, or eight straight, whatever it was, I still think that league reigns supreme when it comes to talent on the field. So much of that has to do with where the talent is in the recruiting areas. The top kids are still from that south and southeastern part of the country, and unless the Big Ten can find a way to go in there and wrangle those guys away in a way that we have not seen, I think the SEC is probably going to stay at the top, though the gap is closing, and I don't think it'll be the way that it was over most of the past decade.
Well, Mitch, I totally agree with you from the standpoint of that conference, the conference rivalries, because there's such a regional cultural passion, and there's so much difference between, well, cultural, let's face it, between the SEC and the Pac-12 and all the other conferences, and I totally agree with that, and it makes a fascinating storyline. I hate the conference arguments, but what if we want to bring it down into a smaller viewpoint, talk just a little bit about national perception. You obviously covered Nebraska for a long, long time. Talk about the national perception of Mike Riley and this change. Is it kind of a, oh, let's wait and see what happens? Nebraska is in the second tier and will continue to be in the second tier. What's the national perception of the changes that have gone on in Nebraska over the last year?
I've yet to get any kind of a sense after the, I would say, initial shock value of that hire. And it was a little bit of a shocking hire because he was not someone that was on the radar to move from Oregon State. He wasn't a hot name in the coaching business, one of these young guys that are on every speculative list. So there was some shock to Mike Riley coming to Nebraska last, right around December 1st. Ever since we've gotten past that initial maybe 24 to 48 hour period, I've not heard one negative comment, one skeptical analysis that he isn't cut out for this job. Everything you hear is extremely positive. It doesn't guarantee success. But I think it validates in a way what Sean Eichhorst decided to do. Yeah, it wasn't what everyone expected, but on the national radar, I think Nebraska has gained respect because of this move. I don't think that there is a wide agreement that it's a top 20 or a top 10 program. I think there is a wait and see attitude on where. How Nebraska does in this system, but I do think that people feel like this is a fit, that if given the time, and we know he has the resources, that he's going to be a guy that can get Nebraska to a competitive place in the Big Ten. And I don't just mean in the Big Ten West. I mean, this can be a program and should be a program that competes for Big Ten championships on a regular basis. And I think if you're Nebraska, that's a start. That's where you want to get. You know, this isn't the 90s. I don't think anyone expects that Nebraska is going to win three national championships out of 4 years at any time in the future, if ever again. But you want to be in the discussion. You want to be relevant. And I think Mike Riley has had a good first 6 or 7 months in helping get Nebraska back in that direction.
Final minute or so here with Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. Monty, you had a question?
Well, I was just going to make a comment. Yeah, you know, Mitch has a great point when he talks about fit. I've always argued that Nebraska is such a unique program geographically and traditionally and all those things, that every program is unique in its own way. But I think Nebraska is a little bit more unique, which made maybe the 90s even more of an accomplishment. But to me, Mike Riley and his staff, short term anyway, are so well-liked, well-respected, easy to cheer for, that fit feels right. Now, like you said, what's next? You got to win ball games, but certainly there's a respect factor there that in the college football world is high.
And I'll agree that he comes in, he has earned the benefit of the doubt from people right away, just because of the personality that he brings. There is not any kind of a cloud over him, or you know what you're going to get from a character standpoint. And at the start of a coaching regime, I think that's something that can help carry him a long way.
Mitch, with that in mind, you know, Nebraska's their schedule is not a killer. You know, we don't have some of the real monsters of the Big Ten in there. Non-conference right. games against BYU and Miami; those are the two marquee matchups. Where do you think this program can be? Where do you think Nebraska can contend with Wisconsin for the division championship? Where do you kind of see? What do you think Nebraska is going to do this year?
Yeah, I think any year that you know, sitting in July, Nebraska is in a really difficult spot as a program in any year that you don't look at it and say this team has a legitimate shot to contend for the division title at the least. And I think you can say that about Nebraska this year. You know, you can look at Wisconsin also undergoing a coaching change, certainly not the kind of dramatic shift that Nebraska has this year with the style of play, but a coaching change nonetheless. And then there's Minnesota. To me, that's the other team in the mix at the top of the Big Ten West. A ton of consistency. Of course, the two wins in the last 2 years over Nebraska has not gotten over the hump against Wisconsin. But the Badgers are coming to Minneapolis this year. From looking at it from Nebraska's perspective, you've got your two most difficult conference games: Michigan State and Wisconsin. On paper that are in Lincoln this year. You mentioned the non-conference games. I think it's a team that can definitely make a goal to win 9 or 10 games and get to a Big Ten championship. And I mean, you get to a Big Ten championship, you're going to be the underdog. I don't think there's any question about that. The West Division is going to be the underdog in the Big Ten title game, no matter who it is. But it's a one game scenario with a lot on the line. And I think the Nebraska coaches and the Nebraska players would take that. That lineup, that setting, sitting right here, 10 times out of 10 right now.
Well, Mitch, we always appreciate hearing your viewpoints. It's interesting, you know, from a regional level, but at a national level, it's interesting to hear your take, and you're always welcome to come back with us, that's for sure.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. That's Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. And, you know, the guy knows his stuff. And I agree with everything that he's kind of said, where Nebraska kind of is being seen. And, you know, we are – hopefully we're the once and now future king of college football. But the thing I have with Mike Riley is he's 61 years old. Is he going to be around long enough to finish the transition to get Nebraska back where – they're going to be? Generally, when you have a program that makes the turn, Ohio State being a pretty good example of that, it does happen in about 4 or 5 years. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, and his health is outstanding. I think he might very well be able to get us there, and he certainly would have the time. Now, doesn't mean he's going to get it done, but I think he does have the time to get things turned around.
Well, and that's a good point. You know, age was always, with the initial hire, everybody talked about that age.
Yeah.
But if you've talked to him and you met him, he's a young, you know,
it's very young, whatever age you throw out there.
62. And
he's a young 50. I mean, yeah. He has a tremendous amount of energy.
You know, and that's a big part of it. You know, we've seen coaches in college football, whether it be the Bobby Bowdens or whether it be Bill Snyder's or whatever, who just seem to be, that's their life. And they just thrive on that sort of thing. And Coach Osborne was that way, too. You know, until health problems entered into the mix a little bit.
For him entered fairly early,
right.
Really, with
right.
That massive heart attack he had.
He was one of those guys that, he thrived on it. And so I can see that being the case. You know, the other interesting thing, and we talked about this just a little bit, and we'll talk about it a lot more. One of my pet peeves is always trying to predict and guess what's going to happen. I mean, I know that's a typical sort of thing, but there are so
fun to talk about.
It's fun to talk about, but anybody that thinks that they know mm-hmm. what's going to happen, whether it be with Nebraska, especially with Nebraska this year, because there's so many factors that are unusual. But if somebody thinks they know what's going to happen in college football, they're just guessing, because that's what makes it great to me.
Well, people didn't see Mississippi State or Mississippi be where they kind of were and where they kind of ended up. And so that's a great example of that. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our Midtown Mark Cooler question wrap things up here on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Maxim Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
Buzz's Marine is getting away from it all and bringing our showroom to you. Join Buzz's July 11th and 12th at Frontier Resort on Lake Maloney and July 25th at Lakeshore Marina on Johnson Lake for our on-the-water boat shows. Bring the family, check out our inventory, and cruise the water before you buy. Get low financing on our full line of boats powered by Yamaha Outboards. Go to buzzesmarine.com for details. Let Yamaha Outboards power hours of fun July 11th and 12th and July 25th. Create family memories to last a lifetime with Buzz's Marine. We'll see you on the water.
It's always good to be a kid at the K on Family Fun Day Sunday. But we've got something special in store July 12th. When the gates open at 11:30, the first 5,000 kids get a Slugger magnet set presented by Skippy. Enjoy activities and autographs during Kids Fest presented by Subway before the 1:10 start. After the game, take the Skippy Fun Run around the bases. Get your tickets today at Royals.com or Hy-Vee.
Make your family forever royal.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. KICS Hastings. KXPN Kearney.
Welcome back here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I almost hate to talk over the top of this. I just... Feels like somebody should be running out of a tunnel right now, doesn't it?
Or out of, or Mariano running out of the bullpen.
There you
go. That's what I think of there. They get goosebumps when I think of that. Have you ever seen, I hate to go off on a tangent, have you ever seen, you know, talking about tunnel walks, and I love tunnel walks, different. See, you know whose tunnel walk this is? This is Virginia Tech.
Oh, is it?
And the people that have been there, I've never been there, say that it is the tunnel walk and the pregame stuff at Virginia Tech is up here. If you YouTube that, you will see some stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, there are some really cool entrances. Yeah, you touch Howard's Rock at Clemson, and there's also
I love that.
Yeah,
stuff.
There's also, and the funny thing is, they had this kind of contest. What is the greatest tradition in college football? People talk about jump around at Wisconsin, which, by the way, I'd love to go, love to watch it. I think it's wonderful. But tradition, the song's 10 years old. How long is this tradition?
At least, well, even the tunnel walk at Nebraska.
It was relatively
young.
I
hate to date myself, but we never had the tunnel walk in Nebraska. You know, we ran through the band and so that was more the, and I don't know the exact.
It's after
first
Husker
time.
Vision got going, yeah.
Exactly.
I think it was in the 90s.
Yeah, certainly.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, it's great to have those additions and those changes. You kind of mentioned earlier that it's a slow time of year when you're talking about NBA free agency. So our Midtown Mark Cooler question from yesterday was about NBA free agency. Who is the biggest winner of NBA free agency so far? Is it the Spurs, the Mavericks, the Clippers, or the Cavaliers? And we had an overwhelming winner of, I bet you can even guess it. The overwhelming winner was Spurs, Mavericks, Clippers, or Cavs?
Well, after last night with DeAndre Jordan, it might go back to being the Clippers. But that changed in about six hours. That changed it. But what'd you think?
It was the Spurs.
Spurs.
The Spurs got 86% of the vote. Mavericks got 7%. Clippers got 7%. And you're right. That 7% might have come in the last hour or so of our voting. Our Midtown Mart cooler question for today, the home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics, Midtown Mart of Hastings. How do you feel about Chuck Blazer's lifetime ban from FIFA? He's the American official that was the whistleblower, accepted the bribes, and then kind of got all this brought to light. Chuck Blazer's lifetime ban from FIFA, do you believe it is much deserved? Was it too much, or more should be banned? Because he actually was given a lifetime ban by the Ethics Committee of FIFA.
And I'm sure he's the only guy in that involved in FIFA that's ever had that sort of thing.
There's a pretty good list.
That's exactly what I mean.
That have been banned already.
Can you say Fall Guy? You know, I think
there's a lot of Fall Guys.
And there probably should be too. So if you have a lifetime ban, that means you're probably doing some pretty bad stuff.
I kind of said when the FIFA officials were walking out there to hand out the World Cup to the Americans that I didn't recognize them because they didn't have their hands in somebody else's pockets.
Yeah, I saw that. That was very well done.
And the ethics committee, is there a stranger job than being part of the ethics committee for FIFA? I mean, you're in over your head on that deal, aren't you?
You're never sitting around the office going, "What are we going to do today?
Can we find any?" Anything to investigate? No,
the Olympic Ethics Committee.
There you go. That would be an okay example as well. Although I do think FIFA is probably a little bit dirtier because, you know, there's, I don't know, they just control way too much in the way they're set up. Anyway, my opinion, very much deserved, and more should be banned. So I think I probably would be voting for more should be banned. Monty, appreciate your time today. It's always good to see you.
I'm glad it worked in the work schedule, and I go back to my
real job. Work schedule.
I know. Get back to work, but it's great to be in here. Get good guests. It's fun to do.
All right. Appreciate the time, Monty. And also want to say thanks to our guest today, Brian Graham of Kearney 5 Points Bank, the Legion team, and Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. Tomorrow, Jade Meads is going to join us from the Nebraska Senior Games as we talk about those games and their registration deadline coming up, and we'll continue our preview of Big Ten of football. We'll actually get things started specifically talking about Illinois with Brian Bossart, the voice of the Fighting Illini. We'll have that for you tomorrow at 11 right here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.